Hello, I'm Lodging Editor Christine Killian. Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. In this episode, I spoke with Doug Tutt, CEO of H Careers, and Tammy Gillis, founder and CEO of Gillis, about the current staffing challenges that hotel owners and operators are facing as travel demand heats up, and strategies to help hoteliers attract, hire, and retain candidates. Let's start by kind of framing where we're coming from, where the industry is at today. What are you seeing and experiencing in terms of staffing in the hospitality industry right now? And what do you see as the primary reasons driving those challenges that hotel operators and owners are facing? Tammy, can we start with you? What are you seeing?
Yeah, thank you, Christine. And so I think there are a few different things that are happening right now. Is that the leisure traveler is coming back in some markets, in many markets, faster than hotels expected. And so hotels, you know, are running into a situation where they don't have the staff to take care of these guests. So you can imagine that challenge when most hotels are not at the 50% mark. What happens when corporate starts coming back and that Sunday to Thursday business picks up, or meetings and conventions and so on? So staffing is a challenge. The booking window is very short. So not only, you know, do hotels not have people to clean the rooms and staff the front desk, they're getting same day reservations and having to really adjust scheduling. So that's what we're seeing on the hourly front. On the managerial side, there have been so many jobs that have been lost, millions of jobs in the industry, that people are just wearing many hats, and hotels are operating, we know, with very lean staff. And, you know, our space is in the sales area. Many hotels aren't operating without salespeople. So there's lots of challenges going on, and I think it's a complicated issue. There's more than one reason why this is happening. But that's kind of where hotels are at right now. The leisure travelers leading, you know, kind of the rebound. And we're just not ready. We're just not ready to receive that travel.
Doug, what are you seeing? What's driving the staffing challenges from your point of view?
To Tammy's point, it's probably coming back faster than people thought, which is a good problem to have. However, I think there are a confluence of factors that are creating a current labor shortage in the market today. And so it almost feels reminiscent of pre-pandemic, when we were at arguably full employment in the 3% range. If we look at the jobs report that recently came out, we added just under 300,000, actually 270, I think was the number. And people were expecting 1 million to go on the payrolls for April in a 6% unemployment market. And so clearly things are a little out of whack. And again, I think there are a confluence of factors there. And I think they are related to, people, you know, have hit on this, and it's gotten a lot of attention, the unemployment benefits that have been offered that are potentially keeping people on the sidelines. And so I think some states will roll those back, and we'll continue to look at the data for how they perform. We know that, you know, people are still undergoing getting the COVID vaccine. And so there could be some concerns around safety and you know, going back into environments where you come in, you know, higher contact with people. And so potential concerns there. And I know the hoteliers have taken a number of steps to mitigate that. Thirdly, we know that, you know, many schools are still yet to open in certain parts of the country. And so as a parent, you're first to choose, do I stay home and take care of the family, or what do I do? And so we know to some degree, and we've heard anecdotally, you know, that's at work. But I think the more concerning issue, you know, that we're hearing is increasing wage rates for other verticals that have done well in the pandemic, like warehousing, like logistics, that are putting pressure on operating margins for hoteliers. And potentially, I think sort of, you know, short term, medium term, we'll talk maybe a little bit about that. We have people exiting the industry. And so that pool of workers that were initially furloughed or laid off, you know, some rehiring's been done. If you're reaching back out, you know, are they no longer accessible? And so I think that could exacerbate the problem in addition to some other things going on that we'll talk about. But that's probably most concerning of all these factors, because that one has more of a longer term impact than the other three.
I just wanted to add to that as well. I think, and I agree with everything Doug said. And another thing is a misperception when we're dealing with our owners and our hotels that we work with, that it's an employer's market because millions were let go last year. And, you know, yes, it's a labor crisis, there's no question, but some are in a wait and see. You know, I need to wait until my occupancy gets to a certain level. And there's a misperception that there's just so many available people ready to work. And people have left and people have options, and it's not an employer's market. And I think what's really important to note is that this pandemic has made the hotel industry lose its luster when it comes to an employer of choice. I think people who were laid off were impacted, and people who stayed were impacted by working so many hours under such stressful conditions. So I don't think we have the greatest reputation right now. And we need to make hospitality kind of this sought after career choice and option for people to come back to again.
So considering all of these factors in this environment that hoteliers are finding themselves in, what can they do to better reach and attract the candidates who are out there to fill the open positions that they have?
Yeah, I think they're looking at a multitude of strategies in the short term. And these are, and probably the most common that I've heard is they're paying referral bonuses to employees on staff who bring people in. And then there are generally some signing bonuses that get accompanied with the new worker. They're offering, you know, more flexible options in terms of work schedules and bonuses tied to days worked or rooms cleaned, as an example. In some seasonal areas, they're looking to bump up the rates, but obviously do that just through the season, so they're not locked in, you know, longer term. And so those are more, you know, financial incentives that they are putting in place to try to address the issue. And then from a benefits standpoint, you're seeing a range of different options being offered up, whether it's food on site or travel assistance or converting work spaces for kids to come in and attend school from the hotels, or opening up gym facilities for the families. Other sort of a lower cost, I'd say, health benefits through telehealth, And so more wellness approach to, you know, taking care of the people that you have. Tammy made a comment around, you know, the luster and people, you know, working. There's a lot of cross-training that has gone on where people have worked, you know, outside normally what they would do. And I'm sure it worked harder than they probably ever thought they would. And so the concern is, you know, are we now going to burn people out with people not wanting to come back? And does it exacerbate this, you know, labor cycle? And one of the more meaningful comments I heard one of the operators make was that we need to start treating our teammates like our guests. And so it has clearly impacted the thinking of the senior management and understanding that they've got to take care of the people that they have.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'll build on the culture piece. Culture matters, and it's always mattered. Before COVID, we had a labor crisis because we had almost full employment, and now it's for different reasons, but your culture matters more than ever before, and we have to start treating people and put people over profit. And in terms of how we get over this, we can only control what we can control. So look at, you know, how does your brand, you know, whether it's your independent hotel or one or a management company with multiple hotels, how are you viewed as an employer? What are your reviews on Glassdoor? Have you jumped on Glassdoor lately to look at your reviews or Google reviews as an employer?
and relook at your job description. So if you're posting open positions, whether it's for sales, front desk, housekeeping, general manager, how are you standing out and rising above the noise, knowing that so many people have open job recs? And you might not be able to compete dollar for dollar in terms of compensation, but if there are some of the softer benefits that Doug talked about, and it's clear that you care about your people, then that's a big deal. People want to work with people that, you know, treat them well and make them feel like family. So I think that is going to be really, really important, is if you look like every other job posting out there, you're going to blend into the noise. And I think the important part is you have to streamline your hiring process. Things are moving really fast. So internally, you know, if someone applies for a job and you're waiting 2 weeks to reach out to them to say, hey, do you want to come in for an interview or do you want to get on a call? You've probably missed them. Our company, we're always looking at hiring sales managers, and we had 2 interviews scheduled this week, 2nd interviews, and we move pretty fast through the hiring process. We've streamlined it, and we just talked to those folks on Friday and had a 2nd interview. One of them was scheduled yesterday. One of them was scheduled today. Both got other job offers. So that's the reality. The speed at which we move, we still have to be methodical, do the background checks, but the days of just dragging out the hiring process isn't going to work this time around. We're going to lose good candidates. So it's a multi-pronged approach. You know, we're refreshing all of our job descriptions. We're really making sure that our culture is at the forefront of, you know, our story and why join our company. And streamlining that process is going to be really critical. The one last thing I'll add is know your competition, especially for those hourly positions, and it's not other hotels. You know, what's the local McDonald's, paying people? What's that Starbucks paying people? Do they have signing bonuses? Because that's where you're going to lose people.
Next, I wanted to ask each of you how your organization is stepping in and helping hotels navigate this crisis. So what are your key strategies? How's technology playing a role? Tammy, let's start with you.
Our company, we are a remote sales organization, and we provide remote sales support for hotels all over North America. So again, before COVID, when it was really tough to find a property level seller, we were a really great fit. And now the story and the need for hotels is still critical to start looking at sales recovery, but it's for a different reason. So hotels and management companies, they've let go most of their sales staff, or they've repurposed them to cover some operational jobs. And so they have an opportunity, an incredible opportunity, to bring back the best and to look at, you know, pre-COVID, what was our sales structure? What was working? What wasn't working? And what does that new sales structure need to look like? And so a third-party company like ours can help in the recovery in a few different ways. One of them, we're very much helping be a bridge. If a hotel doesn't have the occupancy to bring back their entire team, they're outsourcing the sales strategy to us, and we are helping them ramp up their occupancy while they figure out what that best sales structure looks like, and we can help them with that. Or it could be a hybrid approach. We're getting many inquiries from management companies saying, you know, I want you guys to be the hunters to go look for new business. And on property, I want to have more of those, you know, relationship builders, farmers, if you will, managing those incoming inquiries. So we're playing that hybrid role. Or for some hotels, we're that permanent solution. Because if you're a select service hotel with 80 rooms, maybe you don't need a full-time on-site. So the time is now to start thinking about sales, because when you're looking at your sales pipeline, it can take 3 to 6 months to build. And companies that are starting to think about the sales recovery will be the ones getting out in front of this pandemic.
Doug, how is H Careers helping hotels navigate this crisis? And what are some of your strategies, and how can technology help address this issue that hoteliers are facing right now?
Sure. So there's a number of things we're doing shorter term and a number of things we're doing longer term that are, you know, specifically tied to technology. Although I would say we're doing some of that in the short term as well. But initially, what we've been doing at the AHLA and with other customers is really, you know, educating them and providing insight on some of the proprietary survey data that we collect from job seekers and in terms of what is important to them. And there's a range of these that we've done. I won't go into the detail, but it basically outlined for us a how-to in terms of retaining who you have, thinking about rehiring those that you've let go, and then optimizing the approach on recruiting as you're going back out in the market, and some things that you need to be mindful of. From an internal perspective, we've taken a decision in the business to actually invest more ahead of our plan to induce more into marketing campaigns for, you know, how we provide greater awareness to the site. And then we're also doing some investments and accelerating those around technology to enhance conversion of applies for those that that do come to the site. Externally, there's a couple things we're doing. We have reached out and communicated to distribute some messaging out to ICRE, which is the International Council on Hotel, Restaurant, and International Education. These are the hospitality and colleges, schools, hospitality and culinary colleges and schools, universities throughout the country, where we know these students who are coming out, some are graduating, some are in between semesters, don't get impacted by the UI benefits, maybe less impacted by, you know, they're not staying home to take care of children, or, you know, the vaccine is less of an issue. So we've said, look, we want to get out to as many of these people as we can, get the message out, let's make sure they're engaged in the marketplace. And then we're also evaluating with the foundation of the AHLA to roll out a series of virtual career fairs across the country, and we're working on specific markets to target those. And that's been shared with a number of the management companies and brands, and we're continuing to work on that as well. From a longer-term standpoint, we have been in the process of really undergoing a transformation of the business, but really building out what I call our digital ecosystem for the hospitality industry. And this is really trying to create a simple, seamless experience across the spectrum of attracting and recruiting talent, onboarding talent, developing and retaining talent, and then to the degree that they go through separation, we're re-engaging them post-separation. And the ecosystem partners fall into a couple of different categories, whether it's content, technology, or distribution. Sometimes they fall into a couple. But the ultimate goal here is, by doing that, we really strive to create this growing community where job seekers and employers can call the platform home over the life of their careers. And so, again, number of things we're doing short term, longer term in terms of technology enhancements, but really working with partners in the industry to align common interests to serve the communities we serve.
So we touched a bit on culture. But let's focus a little more on that question of retention and employee development, with particular focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. What are some things and keys that hoteliers should keep in mind when they're developing their retention strategies and ensuring that they're creating an environment where employees have opportunities and can stick around?
Yeah, so one of the surveys we ran, which brought back some pretty insightful information, was that 75%, so 75% of the job seekers indicated that they would not work for a company that did not foster diversity and inclusion initiatives. And so the short term is, and I know the industry has responded well with many of the conversations we have with our customers, you need to make that an integral part of your employee branding. And Tammy talked about culture and sort of talking about what it's like to be in the industry and what it means. Well, this is core and central to making sure that portion of what is discussed, whether about the brand, whether about the location, is an integral part of the ad when you're putting that out there in front of people to let them know that this is what you're doing. And to the degree you can do that locally, even better. Medium term, there are really simple things that companies can do, like investing in unconscious bias to create greater awareness for the staff and how behaviors can be examined and addressed that help to foster a more inclusive environment. And then I think longer term, and we had some data to support this as well, you've certainly got to promote diverse ranks, diverse talent up through the ranks, so that people coming into the business see that it's not talking about it, it's actually about doing something about it. And there's a real, you know, commitment to advance qualified talent up in the ranks.
Yeah, that was all great stuff. And just to add to some of that, I think it really has to be not a talking point. It has to be part of the strategy. It has to be woven in your culture. And then for people who are looking at your hotel as a potential, you know, employer, make sure that that is reflected in your brand and that you live it and that your employees absolutely feel it. And a couple of things. I mean, if you're going to be recruiting, you have to be looking at some diverse job boards as well. So, Doug, not to take away from your amazing site, which we've certainly posted lots of jobs on, but there's diverse job boards that are more focused on that local market and that local community. So you have to go where the people are and get the content and your job postings in front of the right people with the right message. And when you're hiring, you know, what does your panel look like? Do you have a diverse panel of interviewers? Do you have your head housekeeper, you know, with you as the general manager hiring for that position? Who are you bringing in so you don't have that unconscious bias and that you're, you know, putting the right person in the right seat? And so train your recruiters. If you're not the person in the front line doing these interviews and you don't have a diverse panel, make sure that your recruiters are well trained. And again, make sure that you are posting those jobs in a diverse job board. And if you Google it, I found a bunch of them this morning. They're incredible. You can get some with retired vets that are looking for work. There's a whole bunch of diverse job boards that you can be communicating to a completely different audience. But the first step is identifying where you at in your DE&I strategy. And, you know, make a goal the next 30, 60, 90 days. And then what does that look like? And who do you need to include as part of that strategy?
Great. So we have a few minutes left. What do you expect to see in the months ahead? I know no one has a crystal ball, but we all have a vision and what we're anticipating for the summer months. And also, if you have any final thoughts to share. Tammy, let's start with you.
Yeah, I'm looking into my crystal ball right now. And I think, you know, we're expecting it, hopefully a good summer, right? The rate of vaccinations and this pent up demand for travel. People want to travel. There's no question. I was traveling last week and this week. Airports were very busy. People want to travel. I think we're going to struggle. Hotels are going to continue to struggle with staffing issues. And I think we really need to be looking at, you know, what we're doing to take care of our employees because they're already tired from the pandemic. And what are we doing to let them recharge for this wave of travel that is coming? We know that corporate and some of the bigger group stuff is not looking to come back in any great, you know, wave until probably early 2022. But hopefully in the fall of this year, we'll see some of that return. And I think now is a time to control what we can control and retool and retrain. A lot has changed. A lot has happened. And we have to change and retool and re-energize the workforce to get them ready because it's coming. And we all deserve for what's coming in terms of just better times ahead. But it's not going to happen without, you know, some heavy lifting. And it still will, you know, perhaps be a little bit bumpy until we figure out our occupancy levels and get the proper staffing. But now is a time to invest in your culture, invest in your training, so you can retain those employees so they can support those guests as they come back.
Doug, what do you expect? And do you have any final thoughts to share?
Yeah, no, I think I'd build on what Tammy was saying here. And so I think first and foremost is make sure you're taking steps to retain the people you have. We know that the cross training and some of the extended work that people were doing has the risk to burn them out. And so as the market opens back up and there are more opportunities for people to jump, you want to make sure that you don't lose those people that have helped you get through the pandemic. And so I touched on a number of areas that employers are taking today in terms of financial, but there are other ones that are more benefits. But to Tammy's point, you can't sort of, and this isn't anything that you can do in the short run, this notion of culture and what it's like to work there and how do you take care of people and how do you think about people and how do they get recognized. And these are things that you just have to get on board with. It's not an option any longer. I mean, we talk about D&I, and Tammy again mentioned it's got to be part of the strategy. Thinking about your people and the fabric of your culture is integral to making sure you're successful is so critical to retain the people you have, but also as a beacon, and I think this is the more poignant point here, the beacon that if people have left the industry, you're now going to have to figure out how to get people to come back into the industry. And Tammy hit on again, I think that, you know, it's lost a little bit of its varnish, right? That it's not maybe what it was perceived to be in the past. And I know that there are some investments on behalf of the AHLA Foundation to gin up some branding and imaging of what it's like. But I do think hoteliers have to think about this branding and sort of reinforce some of the benefits that they offer that may not be comparable in some of the competitive landscape that's out there for opportunities. And probably most important, which you hear these stories all the time about the ability for people to come in and have a pathway to more, where over and over again, we hear of the matriculation of people moving up, that are getting greater responsibility and higher salary increases, better wages in a very, very short period of time. And so part of what we're doing in the H Careers platform, and we're doing this with the AHLA, is creating pathways and transparency for people who are looking at these, that it's not just a transaction. It's not a job. It is a career where you can find yourself among great people, but you can advance, and you can advance in a very, very quick period of time to really take on more responsibility, to, you know, grow your salary and income, and really develop as an employee. And so we've got to make sure that we hit on those things. We're much more thoughtful about the branding, and I agree with Tammy's comments, to really drive that home, because you're going to have to, I think, go out and find people who have not been in the industry before and bring them into the industry.
Thank you both for your time and insights. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Doug. This is great. Thank you both.
Yep. Enjoyed it, Tammy.
Likewise. Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, subscribe to Lodging Magazine on YouTube. You can also subscribe to Lodging on Demand wherever you get your podcasts. For news and updates, follow us at Lodging Magazine on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or visit lodgingmagazine.com.